If you will, turn your Bibles once again to Matthew chapter 6. And as we have learned thus the last 3 weeks about what is prayer, we're going to kind of shift a little bit on this topic. And so we will have a new title today, but we're going to use the same text in Matthew chapter 6. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, Matthew chapter 6, and we are going to read verses 5 through 13 once again. Now I'll read the odd verses by myself. You'll join me on the even verses, and you already know why, because I am indeed odd, and you are so nice and even. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we take a look and continue to study this thing of prayer, I don't know. I suppose it was the Holy Ghost just impressing upon me that this month of November kind of be this focus and focal point of prayer on these Sunday morning messages. You say, was that something that you kind of mapped out and outlined as you became pastor? No, it's not. I believe in preparation, but I don't believe in micromanaging God, okay? I think you ought to prepare and be prepared, but you know, let God have his way. You understand, though, that this thing of prayer is very important. And as I told you at the beginning, it's probably something I could preach on every Sunday for a whole year and have enough material to cover and things that you can learn and grow from in your life as a believer in Christ. But we've talked about what prayer is. And really it boils down to it's a time to spend with God. And really in worship. Did you notice what Jesus said about the people praying vainly in vain repetitions? Because they think they're going to be heard for their much speaking. And he makes the comment and says that that God already knows what you have need of before you ask him. So that's not the reason for prayer, really. He already knows that. And God just wants you to voice it to him. That's why. Not because he doesn't know, but because he just wants you to talk to him. He just wants you to commune with him and meet with him. And if you will, I mean, listen, as a dad, I know what my kids need, but sometimes it's nice, hey, Dad, could you do this for me? Could you do this for me? I mean, this is just something that's built within us. How does that come from? Well, we're made in the image of God. So if we kind of like that, then God's like that, isn't he? You understand that God already knows your needs, but in the model prayer that we've read over and over again in verses 9 through 13, he tells us to ask God for our daily bread and the things that we need each day. And we talked about how prayer is kind of like an Oreo cookie. Got the worship on both ends and the stuff everybody wants in the middle. And a lot of times, people's prayers are just all stuff and no cookie. they twist the cookie off and get rid of it and there's the stuff left. You see, it's not supposed to be like that. We talked about supplication. We talked about thanksgiving. We talked about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We talked about secret prayer and how Jesus said that when we pray, we should We should enter into our closet, and our Father which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. You see, God just wants us to pray. I believe in one of the sermons we talked about how God assumes that we are going to pray. He doesn't say, if thou prayest. He says, when thou prayest. When thou doest alms. When thou prayest. But thou, when thou prayest. But when ye pray. He says these things. And then, of course, in verse 9, he says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. So we've kind of talked a lot about what prayer is in many different circumstances. But I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to turn to Luke. And I want you to look at verse 22. Chapter 22. Luke 22. And look at verse 39. This, if you will, is the real Lord's Prayer. I was at a church recently, and they had a beautiful wooden plaque on the wall, and it had the passage from Matthew chapter 6 quoted in there. It's really nice. And it said, the Lord's Prayer. I'm like, where's my chisel? I need to change this. this is the Lord's Prayer. Luke 22. Look at verse 39. The Bible says, and he came out, and listen, you got to be careful to pay attention to Scripture, okay? And went as he was wont. You know what that simply means? This is something he did before. This was a habit. This was a custom. All right, that's what it means. As he was wont. In other words, this is something he did often. This was not a first time experience. This was something that the Lord was accustomed to doing. This was habitual. He says, it says here, and he came out and went as he was wont. And went. To the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. So today we're going to talk about the place of prayer. The place of prayer. Look at verse 40. And when he was at the place. Now that's pretty specific, isn't it? You've studied your articles, right? A, an, and the. Right? Everybody okay with a basic English lesson today? The place. Okay, that's Pacific, not Atlantic. It's a specific... Thank you for the pun. All right, come on, you got to wake up. Loosen up a little bit, everybody. When he was at the place. It says that he went out to the Mount of Olives. That's a large area. Hey, it wasn't a small little place. It wasn't a small area. It was a large area. And they went out to the Mount of Olives as he was wont. It says it was his custom to do such. And they were walking around in the Mount of Olives. Right? There's olive trees and things and different up and down and maybe to the left and to the right. And they're walking around. When he came to the place. It was a place. We saw in verse 39, it was some place that he was accustomed to going. When he came to the place, when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray, that ye enter not into temptation. Back in Matthew chapter 6, the Bible says that when we go to God in prayer, we're supposed to enter into our closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Can I tell you something? We're going to look at many passages of Scripture today. And we're going to see over and over again that God, our God, likes to be met at a place. Or may I say, at the place. You say, well, do I need to go to the Mount of Olives and find the place that Jesus was at? No, that was his place. And you know what? Moses had a place. Abraham had a place. Jacob had a place. David had a place. Solomon had a place. Daniel had a place. The apostles had places. Do you have a place? Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have the place that you meet with your God? You see, having the place in your life to pray is important. May I say this? If you don't have a place, you're not going to pray. How about that? If you don't make a place and have a place to pray, you probably won't. You probably won't. You know, you understand that when we determine to do something, we give it a place. Hey, how many of you like to eat? Anybody have the place? Yeah, I do. It's called a table. Yeah, it's kind of the focal point of my house. It's a large space for many people to sit around, as you can imagine. But you know, or you say, let's go to the place after church, right? You have a favorite restaurant you like to go to, right? You have a place. How many of you like sleep? Now, I just spent a few days at my in-law's house, and it's a nice home. It's a comfortable place. But can I tell you, it's not the place. Not the place. I mean, like your own bed and your own pillow. Huh? Yeah. Your own noises. We had a new noise last night. Yeah. Meow. Meow. Well, I didn't do what I wanted to do. I just left it alone. It's a cute little kitten. I hope it finds a home somewhere else. At its own place. But you know what? We see in Scripture over and over again, this is an important thing. Don't we give a place to things that are important? Hey, ladies, come on. When you go through your home, everything has a place. And you like it when things are in their places. And you don't like it when they're not. Listen, I just learned my wife is one of those uber organized people, which is wonderful. It's great. But what I don't like is when my children put things away because they don't put them back where she puts them. And then I go looking for them in their places and they're not there. Okay, isn't that frustrating? Yes. I mean, you open a cupboard, you expect to find X thing in this place because that's where it belongs. Right? Or how many of you walk around your house in the dark and your wife decided to rearrange the furniture? Oh! The chair's not supposed to be there. It's not in its place. All right, now, you know, so we do that with every area of our life. What about prayer? What about the time that we spend with our God? Take your Bibles. We've looked at this passage of Scripture already. In 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Remember when Solomon was dedicating the temple? He used this phrase over and over again. 2 Chronicles in chapter 6. What was the temple all about? It's about a place. A place for who? God. It's a place for God. And it's a place for God's people to meet with their God. Look at verse 12 of chapter 6 in 2 Chronicles. And Solomon gave the... That's chapter 9. I got to get my numbers right. It's the Queen of Sheba there. Okay, look at chapter 12. And he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high and had set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepest covenant and showest mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David and my father that which thou hast promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that thy children take heed to their way to walk in my law, as thou hast walked before me. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thine eyes may be open upon this house, day and night, and upon the place whereof thou hast said thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. You notice that over and over again as we continue to read here, all the way through verse 42, he says the word, this place, this place, this place, this place, this place. The temple that Solomon built. The place that they had prepared for their God was a special place. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, that enter into thy closet. That's a place you go. That's a place you have. Jesus, in Luke 22, went out as he was wont into the Mount of Olives. And when he came to the place, it was a special place. A certain place. If you take your Bibles and turn to Genesis, you see in chapter 13, that as God was dealing in the life of one Abraham, or Abram if you will, and he was leading him out of his own country and sent him over toward the area that he would give to the people to come, the promised child, and all those things that were to happen for Abram. If you look at chapter 13, it says, and Abram went out of the land, out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Now we understand that this is already into the story quite a ways. They've made their way from Ur of the Chaldees over to the promised land and then went down into Egypt. And now they're coming back out of Egypt. But I want you to look at what it says here. And verse 3, it says, and he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. It was a special place for Abram. A place where he heard from God and met with God. You know, later on, we see how Abram meets with God and talks to God about Sodom and Gomorrah. And asked him if he'd spared the city for this amount of people and this amount of people and this amount of people and this amount of people. They get to the point where, God, if there be 10? Because, you know, he was figuring, you know, we got Lot and Mrs. Lot and girl number 1, girl number 2. All right, that's 4. Certainly Lot has talked to somebody.
in that city.
In Genesis, in that chapter 19, it says, "And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord and asked these things." It was a special place. He didn't just go up to the top of the rise where he could see Sodom and Gomorrah. No, he went to the place where he stood before the Lord to see if God had spared the cities or not. Why? Because it was a special place to him. A place where he communed with God. Do you have a special place? Hey, the temple was a special place to Solomon. It was something that he had been commissioned to build by his father. Abram had a special place. Every time he sojourned back and forth, he went back to that place. Oh, Jacob had a special place. Listen, remember we talked about last time about how Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord and said, "I'm not letting you go till you give me what I want. Till you bless me." That was a special place to him. He built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord there. It's a special place. "Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." You understand that as we go through our lives, we need a place to meet with God. And it ought to be special to you. You know, in these men's lives, as you look through the circumstances and all the different things that happened to them, they found places to meet with God wherever they went. But you ought to have that special place. And if you will, that sacred place to meet with God. As Jesus went out as he was wont, and as he walked around, he came to the place. He told his disciples, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." And he went a few steps further. He knelt down and he cried out to God. You understand? That was special to him. How about Moses? As he was tending to the sheep of his father-in-law, being on the run from Egypt, right? Because he killed somebody. He sees this bush. What's that fire over there? Gets a little closer. What did God say and tell him? He said, "Hey, this place is holy ground. Take your shoes off." Where was it? Oh, it was at a place. Oh, it was at the place, rather. We see it. Moses said, "I will turn now aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt?" When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." He said, "Here am I." He said, "Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." You know, not only does it need to be a special place, it needs to be a sacred place. A sacred place. You know, Solomon, as he built that stanchion there, the of brass and stuff, it says he got down on his knees before the people and cried out, lifted up his hands toward heaven and cried out to God. It needs to be a sacred place. A special place where we meet with God. It needs to be a sacred place where we call out to God. I told you about Jacob. And in Genesis 35 says, he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel because God appeared unto him. You understand that this is a sacred place. Is a place that they met with God. As Abram stood there and watched the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah burning, he went to the place where he had met with God and talked with God. It was sacred to them. Do you have a place that's special to you? A special place? Do you have a place that's sacred to you where you've heard from God? Or if you will, the place of Peniel, where Jacob wrestled with the Lord, that was a special place for him. It was a sacred place for him. You understand that when we travail in prayer, and even prevail in prayer, that place becomes a sacred place to us because we've met with our God. I'm just kind of trying to probe a little bit and to get you to think about that a place with God that you have, that's special and sacred to you, is very important in your life. Do you have a closet? Or a place that you go? Listen, it doesn't have to be your clothes closet. That's not necessarily what he's talking about. He's just talking about the place. Maybe it's by a lake. Maybe it's in a park. Maybe it's the breakfast nook at your home, or the kitchen table, or a place in your study if you have a study, or whatever it may be. But is there that place that's not only special to you, but also sacred to you, where you have met with God? Maybe a place that you take off your shoes because it's holy ground. Maybe a place where you get down on your knees. And listen, they said of John Rice that in his study where he prayed, the floorboards were worn grooves where he had continuously met with God. They said that in the secret place that he prayed, the walls had spit marks, stains, from him crying out to God. You say, that's gross. Well, maybe it is. I think it's cool. The place. Any of your floorboards worn out? And if your walls stained? No, I like to move around. Okay, that's fine. Maybe you walk a path back and forth. Is there a place where it's walked back and forth? I'm just trying to impress upon you that there's a special place. There's a sacred place to meet with our God. Jesus had that place. Moses had that place. Abram had that place. Solomon, David. Take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 6. This is probably one of the most famous places of prayer in Scripture. You all like the story. Daniel in the lion's den, right? Great story. You know what it starts with? The place. It all starts with the place. Look here in Daniel chapter 6, verse 1, it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes. That's 122 people. Okay? Against Daniel. Sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful. That's what they found wrong with him. By the way, that he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Why? Because he was faithful. Not only to the king, but to God first. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors, the captains. This is the first lie because Daniel wasn't involved in this. He was one of the presidents.
consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing in the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house, and he what? He closed the door, changed his habits, moved his place of prayer, right? Is that what it says? No. By the way, how did they know to do all that? Because they knew his habits. They knew he was faithful. They knew that he had a place, the place that he talked to God. It says here he went to his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, here it is, as he did aforetime. It's a special place. It's a sacred place. Hey, listen, as you read through the book of Daniel, you see all the answers to prayer and the visions and the different things that he was able to experience because of that place. It was an amazing place. It was a place that he met with God. Do you have such a place? You might even say that Daniel did as he was wont. He just did. Hey, how did Judas know where to find Jesus? There in the Mount of Olives, as they went out after the Last Supper there. Because he went there before. And he left his disciples there before. And he walked a stone's distance away before. He did it before. It was special. It was sacred. God wants to meet with us. He wants to be with us, his people, and their God. Just like Solomon said, as they went and back and forth, and as they would go away from God and come back to God, he said, hey, if they'll lift up their voice toward this place, then hear them and answer them. It was to be a special place. A place where they met with God and cried out to God. And received from God. And worshiped God. And gave to God. It's a special place. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis. In chapter 22. I think so far we've seen that it's a special place. It's a sacred place. Look at this one. In Genesis chapter 22. God had given Abraham and Sarah the promise, the son in their old age. Look at verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took 2 of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I with the lad, and we'll go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Can I say, not only is the place of prayer a special place and a sacred place, but it's a sacrificial place. Sacrificial place. We've talked about offering the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We've talked about coming to God, and we see here that this place was a certain place that God had chosen for this event to take place and happen in Abraham's life. Can I tell you something? If you study your geography, you'll find that another sacrifice happened in Mount Moriah many years later. Our Savior was led out and laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me. Weep, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in which they shall say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck.' Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. You see, we see over and over in scripture that there's a place for sacrifice. Can I tell you, your prayer closet's one of those places. Wherever it is that you meet with God, that special place and that sacred place and that sacrificial place. Remember in Luke 22, as Jesus went and prayed, and he went a little bit further than his disciples, and he was there for a long time, about an hour. And he prayed, being in great agony, sweat as it were, great drops of blood. It's a place of sacrifice. Have you ever offered to God the sacrifice of your prayers in that place? Something special about it. Something certain about it. You see, over and over again, when these people met with God, they built an altar. A bunch of stones piled up on top of each other, right? And it was just there as a sign. Correct? No. What did they do with an altar in the place where they met with God? They lay wood on it. They'd kill an animal according to the design that God had given to them. And they'd set fire to it for a burnt offering unto the Lord. Now, I'm not asking you to burn down your closet. Okay? or things like that. But you know what sacrifice means? It means it costs you something. It means it costs you something. Maybe it's just your time that it costs you. Is there a sweet hour of prayer in your life? Or is it a sweet, fleeting minute of prayer in your life? You know what? That's not a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice. It needs to cost you something. You understand that it costs the Lord something. Cost Abraham something. Cost these men something to sacrifice. Cost Daniel something. He went back to his place, knowing exactly that those princes and those other presidents were going to be there with handcuffs in just a few moments. He knew the decree. He knew it had been signed. He knew the law of the Medes and the Persians, that it would not be changed, and that Darius, no matter how much he cared about Daniel, no matter how much he trusted Daniel, no matter how much Daniel had been faithful to him, was going to be thrown into the lion's den. And he went down there and he decided to pet those little kitties. Maybe give them a little scratch under their chin. I mean, he knew. He knew it might cost him something. I can tell you, not necessarily related to prayer, but you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew that it was going to cost him something to stand for the Lord. What are you willing to sacrifice to have a place? You know, it's hard to keep up with something like that. Not only the time that you devote to it, but the sanctity and sacredness and specialness of a place of prayer. I'm not opposed to you praying in your living room or your kitchen or wherever you want to pray, but why don't you carve out a little spot? That's what that place is for. Hey, can I tell you something? I got a place where I sit to watch TV. Surely I could have a place to pray. Well, yeah, I've got a place where I study for sermons and prepare for these things. Surely I could have a place to pray. I got a place to eat. I got lots of places to eat. Because I like to eat. Surely I can have a place to pray. A special place. A sacred place. And a sacrificial place. In closing, may I just say this, that God does want us to pray. And David wrote in Psalm 91, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." You found that place in your life? See, but Pastor Combs, I've not had any of those things happen to me in my life where I've gotten a hold of God, where I've fought it out, where I've had sacrifice and prayer and supplications and time with God and all those things. Can I tell you then? Get one. Get one. It'll change your life. The place of prayer.